word today is on the sufficiency of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture. And let's just remind us of that initial text in 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The text says all Scripture, the entire counsel of Holy Scripture, is given for our understanding, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the full counsel of Holy Scripture. And how often do we forget about this? Is that we should never ever take a text out of context and use it to justify a doctrine, or for correction, or for reproof, or for instruction. We should use the full counsel of Scripture. And that, I fear, is where we see so much error within Christianity. It's because we look at part of the Scripture and we think, well, yeah, this is what I should do. But we don't look at the full counsel of Scripture, the full body of Scripture, and form really where God is directing us, where God is guiding us. And so that's why we have that word all there. A lot of people just forget about that word all, but that word all is very important. Our doctrine, our understanding of our responsibility towards our Maker, our Savior, how we are to please Him, how we are to live our lives, must be according to the full counsel of God's Word. And so it's the entirety of Holy Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 of God's Word says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It doesn't say all apologetics ministries are given by inspiration of God, or all debates online are given by inspiration of God, or all movies, Christian movies and documentaries, are given by inspiration of God, or all celebrity ministers and evangelists and pastors are given by inspiration of God, or academic experts, professors at Oxford and well-known Greek theologians and Hebrew theologians are given by inspiration of God. Or even very good historical accounts. All those historical accounts, as good as all those things are, and as helpful sometimes as all those things are, because we do believe that pastors and evangelists and ministers, they're giving for the perfecting of the saints. But they were not given for the entire guidance of the saints. The saints are to take the pains of studying. I say pains in the right sense, because it's a joy reading God's Word. It's a pleasure reading God's Word. It's a great privilege. But it's the Christian's responsibility to form his or her doctrine and understanding of Scripture through the careful, prayerful, heartfelt study, often in tears of repentance, study of God's Word. It's not a minister's responsibility to teach people God's Word. It's not a pastor's. Yes, they have a responsibility for the perfecting of the saints, for the roughing of the edges of the saints, but it's every Christian's responsibility to learn God's Word, to study God's Word, and to have their own convictions and their own understanding of doctrine. And I fear that's why so many Christians are led astray nowadays. It's because of this massive exodus from God's holy word, opening up this precious word set before us as more precious than gold, and looking to online ministries, apologetics ministries, debates, historical accounts, all these things, movies, documentaries, and as useful as all these things can be, and they are useful, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a use of these things, but if they are done with neglect on this precious holy book that men and women gave their life for, then our doctrine, our understanding is completely wrong. Because this book should be our primary source of where we get our doctrine from, and where we get our understanding from, and correction and reproof from. And if we are truly guided by the Word of God, then when hirelings come along, and those people who try to lead us astray and take out of context scripture, we will have understanding, you see. And so we must give ourselves to this, to the Word of God. It is upon each and every Christian to study God's Word and to pray over God's Word. It was said of George Whitefield, the greatest evangelist that's ever lived, beside the Lord Jesus himself. It was said of him that he used to pray and often cry over every verse of God's Word. And he used to, yes, he did use, he used commentaries like Matthew Henry and others. But he said, when I truly gave myself to God's Word, I learned more in 1 month of reading God's Word than all the commentaries and everything beforehand. As useful as commentaries are, and I enjoy commentaries and I enjoy reading books on the Reformation and Puritans, but this book is a perfect book because it says here that it is given by inspiration of God. A full counsel is given by inspiration of God. So do we believe in that? Because if we believed that these books that we have in our hands and we have the freedom of reading are more precious than gold, well, why aren't we reading them more often? Why aren't we pouring our heart out before them to the Lord? That's what we ought to be doing. Friends, we need to do this, don't we? It says in Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God's word is settled in heaven. These words are written down here, inspired of God, are forever written down. What we come up with, our plans, our ideas, our apologetics ministry, everything else is going to pale into insignificance. The word of God is what's going to truly last forever. That's what's going to matter when you breathe your last, and that we're ushered into eternity. And like we mentioned in the prayer meeting, that we came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with absolutely nothing. Only that which is done for Christ, only if we have God's word deep within us, really then, of course, we will endure affliction and trial, and we won't look to the things of this world, because we'll look to a better world, where Christ is, where his word is. Our trust, our hope will be in his word. Secondly, our text says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God gave us the full counsel of his holy word. These are not men's words. Remember that. And sometimes we've just got to remind ourselves of this. These are not men's words. When we come in our quiet time in the morning, when we come to our Bible studies, when we come to God's house to worship him, do we come knowing that we are about to open up this treasure trove of heaven, and that God is guiding us, God is blessing us, he is instructing us, he is correcting us, he's making the way plain before us? Or do we come with a flippant mind, a distracted mind, a mind that wishes it's, doing something else? Or do we truly come, I want to be instructed from God's word tonight, or when I'm quiet, I want truly to know the way to heaven. It's the living word. I know that God's word speaks to my circumstance. Do I approach it like that? Or has it become such a formality, such a chore? Or am I reading God's word with a true desire to be guided and blessed by his word? Because these are not men's words. But are they falling upon deaf ears? Or do they go one ear and out the other? Are they going in your heart? Do you truly treasure them? Do you truly esteem them? Not from men's words, but from God's words. They are inspired of God. God breathed as he breathed them into made Adam a living soul, so God put the very words in the mouth of those holy men of old, didn't he? And so, yes, there are things in God's word which sometimes we can struggle with. Of course there is. So, yes, there are difficult things because the Bible is an honest book. Because it tells of sinners. It tells of great evil. And even good people, so to speak, saints, that fall. And so there are difficult things, no doubt, in God's word. But it's an honest book, isn't it? And that's the great beauty. It's not like modern literature that flatters and tells us what we want to hear. It gives us what we need, spiritually, eternally. And we must give ourselves to it when we open up these books. The way we prepare our hearts and the way we come is so important. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Do we believe in that? When we come, the entrance of it, just thinking upon, I'm about to open up God's word, and the light is going to come. It's going to guide me. It's going to bless me. But only if I come believing. Mm-hmm. You see, if I come and I open up this word unbelieving, the devils can read God's word and tremble. We come believing, don't we? We come believing and loving God's word and cherishing it because it is God's word. They are inspired. The inspiration behind it comes straight from the mind and heart of God to us. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Holy men of old were moved by the Holy Ghost of God. Moved to write these words, pen them down. God put the very words in their heart and their mind to pen down for you and for me so that we can know the ways of salvation. So we can know of God's righteousness. We can know of God's truth. And it can sanctify us. And it can bless us. And tell us of eternal matters and how we are to conduct ourselves and live our lives down here below for His glory. Do we come to it in this sense? Psalm 12:6-7 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. There's no way you or I will get through this life trusting in our own words, in experts, in even well-to-do evangelists and other ministries, unless the word of God is first in our life. Unless we love the word of God first in our life. Because that's the word that is purified 7 times. It's a picture of completeness, isn't it? It's a picture of completeness. If we truly love this book more than any other book, and we have it deep within our hearts, only then will we overcome our trials in life, and never before that. Because God's word, that's why you have people, and I'll speak about this with my brother on the Lord's Day, that's why people in third world country, Christians, they don't have as much theology and apologetics ministries and all these things as we do in some of these persecuted countries, but you know what they have? Obedience to the word of God. Faith in the word of God. They would rather die than not go without a Bible. And so they don't have all the apologetics ministries and all these things. But what they do have is a love for God's word. And that is where we need to get back to. The basics. I need to get back to God's holy word. Because that is purified 7 times. This inspired word of God is purified. I will be able to get through this life with my faith intact if I cleave to this precious word of God, to Christ and His words in my life, because it's deep within my heart that I may not sin against Thee. If it's deep within my heart, if I love it, and I love it more than my own works, more than the opinions of men, and more than everything else, if I truly love it, when the trials of life come past, and no doubt we will all be proved, in an earthen vessel, we will come forth as silver and as gold, purified. Why? Because the word of God is deep within our hearts. That's why it says in verse 7 of Psalm 12, thou shalt keep them, that is the words of God, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever, forever. Psalm 12, 6 and 7, thou shalt preserve them, talking about the words of God, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever, forever. God will preserve his word. So if you've got God's word in your heart and you love God's word in your heart, you, of course, will be with the Lord forever, because that's, he's going to keep them throughout all generations. They're never going to change. He will preserve them. And, of course, you will be with the Lord in heaven if you truly love God's word and you give yourself to it, heart, body, and mind. Now, that begs the question, which Bible is the word of God? It's a very controversial subject, of course. And so I'll be quite sensitive what I'm about to say. But I'm in no doubt that the authorized version, the King James Version, is the Word of God in English. I believe that with all my heart. All the other versions have been corrupted through the Westcott and Hort critical text. And that's just a fact. That the line of which the King James Bible comes from the received text, the Textus Receptus. That's what the ancient Christians believe, the Waldensians, the Albigenses. It comes from the same line as Tyndale, and as the same received text. But all the other versions come from the critical text. They've been corrupted. I'm not saying you can't be saved from these other versions of the scripture, because they still have God's word in them. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you cannot be taught about doctrines of God. I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is that the full word of God is in the King James Bible. And why would we settle for anything less than that? We see God's blessing and God's hallmark upon the authorized version, don't we? The great reformations of old and the awakenings of old was because of the King James Bible. And there is wisdom in the mouth of a king, isn't there? That was the seventh translation, picture of completeness, the King James Bible. That was the completeness of the received text. And friends, we must give ourselves to the word of God. We're going to leave it at that in terms of that. And so, what Bible you have does matter. But once again, our text says today, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Profitable means we're going to gain from it, don't we? An athlete will train to profit from his training. He'll train vigorously to run a race so that he can win the race. And he is trained when he runs that race not to look around him, not to look at the side, not to look behind him, to see if there's anyone coming up behind him. He is to keep his eye, of course, on the finish line. And we Christians need to keep our eyes upon Christ and his word. We need not be distracted. It is profitable. You're going to gain from it, spiritually speaking. Your soul is going to gain from it. And friends, your soul will massively gain from the entire heartfelt prayer and study of God's most precious word. If you truly give your whole life to it, mind, body, and strength. In what way will it profit us? Well, it gives us right here. How will it profit us? It will profit us We know from Timothy, it is able to make us wise unto salvation. And the Word of God is able to do that. If we truly give our, if we want to be saved, God's way, not the culture's way, and this do-gooder religion, but God's way, if we want to be saved God's way, we truly seek God's face and His salvation in His Word, the Lord can save us through the diligent, heartfelt reading of Scripture. It profits us because it gives us a knowledge of God, doesn't it? Of who He is, what is expected of us. It gives us a knowledge of ourselves, as we spoke about on the Lord's Day, our very sinfulness, our own evil hearts. And so it profits us to understand our hearts, because out of it are the issues of life. It gives us an understanding of our responsibilities towards our Maker. And what a cruel thing it would be if we were to turn from our responsibilities to our Maker and bite the hand, the very hand that feeds us. It is profitable because it gives us the principles which we are to live by. And so we must give ourselves to, we must see that it will profit us for eternity. Now we can give things to ourselves that may profit our bodies, and may profit our pockets, it may profit other things in life, but those are just temporary things. The Word of God will profit our souls. The Word of God will profit our souls forever, not just for a year, not just for a season, but forever, if we truly give ourselves to the Word of God. It will profit us in that the law and the prophets point us to Christ, don't they? When we read about the law and the prophets, they are profitable because they teach us of our need of Christ. And when we're saved and when we're in Christ, it's profitable because Christ and His Word then point us back to the law, to a very high view of the law. Those people who are Christians, who say they're Christians, but do not have a high view of God's law, do not know nothing of Christ or His Word. Because if you're truly in Christ, what Christ does is He points you back to the law again. And this time your view is not one of bondage, it's one of obedience. And you love God's Word. I love to keep God's day alone. I love to honour my mother and father. Although I don't have perfect obedience, I find there is repentance there. But it is my joy to do the law of God. I delight in the law of God after the inward man of Christ. And so it's profitable, isn't it? Even the difficult things, when we can read them, they profit us. There is blessing in them. And so, friends, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Firstly, it is profitable for, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for reproof. Reproof. Think of that word. If Scripture does not reprove and challenge you, then something's wrong, isn't it? Because that's what God's Word does. It's a double-edged sword. It gets off the scum, as it were, from the surface. It refines us. It gets right through the bone and the marrow, right through to the soul, and it challenges our misconceptions. Let God's Word be true, and every man a liar. It challenges us. It reproves us. And so before we challenge others, like I said on the Lord's Day, that your own heart must be your greatest skeptic. If your own heart is not your greatest skeptic, I'm afraid you're not yet a Christian. Your own heart must be your greatest skeptic. You must see the sin that lies within. And when we read God's Word, we know that often we'll be challenged in God's Word. Because we live in the world, because the sinful world's influences and the devil and our own sinful hearts by nature, all these things are opposed to us. But praise God, if we're a Christian, we've got the new nature, we've got Christ enthroned upon our hearts. But when we read the Word of God as a sanctified believer, it challenges us, doesn't it? It challenges us to live holy lives, to live lives which are honoring to the Lord, which bring glory to Him. And really, it brings godly sorrow. It brings true repentance when we feel, I don't come up to the mark. I've failed the Lord in this today. I've thought upon this thing. Or I've done something I haven't redeemed the time as I ought to have done. Sin is exceedingly sinful. And so God's word reproves us. It's a reproof to us. And only those, really, who have this mind, that it's a reproof, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, only those who are daily, weekly, monthly, yearly being reproved by the word of God and really take on board those reproofs. Because why? Because reproofs are the way of life. Don't think that you know it all. I don't think that I know it all. Don't think that you can stand lest you fall. Only those who are challenged by God's word, we are being reproved first, and only then you are qualified to reprove others, and not before then, when your own heart is your biggest critic. And so it is profitable not only to reprove us and to correct us, but also in the world as well, to point people to Christ. And so those who continue to find fault in others and censor other people and are continuously critical of other people really know nothing of the full counsel of God's word. In saying that, reproofs are needful at times and necessary in producing godly sorrow and repentance. It is needful, isn't it, to reprove others if we see a brother or sister in Christ indulging in worldliness or some other thing. It's important. But how we do so is also important as well, if we take on board the full counsel of Scripture. And so how we do it is with a mind's eye to ourselves. We do it in love. We do it putting ourselves in that person's position. And so our reproofs need to be according to God's directives and not our own, not a selfish way, not an unbecoming way. And so how we reprove counts. Reproof is necessary, and we need to. And we need not shy away from reproofs. That's important. However, there must be an inner reproving by the Holy Spirit when we read God's word convicting us of our sin. And so I just wanted to emphasize that point. Once again, our text says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. For correction. And in other words, we need to be kept on the straight and narrow, don't we? We need to be corrected by God's word, because often we can be misled, can't we? And there are many false teachers, there are many deceivers in this world, and so we need to be kept on the straight and narrow. We need correction, and God's word is what's going to correct us. And that's why people who are not in God's word, that just get all their doctrine and all their teaching online and neglect God's word, the full counsel of Scripture, you often find that they are always going backwards and never forwards. Correction, to be kept. There's a reason why it's called narrow, the way it's called narrow. Because it is narrow. And unless we have a guide and a light, we're going to be falling. We're going to lose the way. We're going to stumble off the narrow way. We need to be kept on the narrow way. We need correction. Correction, I say this to you young ones as well as myself, correction is a good thing. Reproof is a good thing. Don't think of it like the world thinks of it, in a negative way. Oh, I don't want to be reproved. Oh, don't say that to me. And we live in a society like that, don't we? And we can all be like that. We need correction. We need to reproof. And yes, the way we say it to each other needs to be within love and gently at times, unless it's an awful thing, then we sharply reprove. But we need to receive it. We need to understand that correction is good. It helps us. Reproofs are good. And so God's word has got to be the standard for correction, hasn't it? We don't go to what we think is right and to our standards and we say, well, this is what we are supposed to do. No. We say, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is what we are supposed to be doing. Why? Well, because God's word. Because God's word says so. That's why. You see, if you tell someone, don't do that. Don't do it. All right, then. Next day. You do that again. Well, don't do that. Okay. Next day. You do that again. Why are you doing that? Well, you haven't told me yet. Why? Oh, because God's word says so. Because Jesus said so. Well, that's why. And you see, when we put the authority, because your Maker said so, Jesus said so, that's what we say. We always bring the authority into God's word. If we just try to reprove and correct, which is the moral high standard, like the media does, there's no authority. But God says so. We always have to bring in our Maker and our Savior. This is what he said, and he is always right. And we need to obey that. And so God's word has got to have the standard for correction and all of it, the full counsel of it. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, we can know the will of God if we're transformed by the Holy Spirit of God, and that we're conformed to his word and not this world. You see, if our love and our treasure is in this world, then we'll be guided by the flesh and by the things of this world. But those who do the will of God are those who go to the full revelation of the word. We have the full revelation from the beginning to the end. We have the sure word of God's prophecy here. We don't need any more charismatic gifts and those things. That has ceased. We've got the full, sure prophecy of the word of God. And that's where we go to. And if we are in God's word and we've been directed by the living word, then we are being directed by God's will. That's how he reveals how we are to live our lives, by his will, his revealed will. And so, what is correction and reproof to be in? What is it to be in? Well, it says it here, isn't it? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. In righteousness. All these things. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what our text says. Instruction teaches and conveys knowledge, doesn't it? It is profitable to us because it gives us and teaches us knowledge of the Almighty and gives us understanding. It gives us direction and heavenly light. It guides us, doesn't it? Do you want instruction in your life? Do you want direction, God's guidance in your life? Give yourself to God's word. It will be profitable for your soul. Instruction is not only in the whys of life, it's in the hows as well. It doesn't just show us why we see sin in the world, why there are certain things that happen. It gives us the hows. How can we overcome it? How can we live in such a sinful world? It doesn't tell us just the whys, it gives us the hows as well. Proverbs 8:10 says, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." God's word, receive my instruction. This is the Lord saying to you, receive it, listen to it, take it on board, lay it up in your heart as treasure, and not silver. Don't give your heart and your mind to the things of this world. Don't treasure the things of this world. Receive God's instruction. Take heed to your ways. and treasure them and not the people or the things of this world. You must do that. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. Choice gold, or the best gold. The best things in this world are nothing compared to the instruction and the guidance of God's word. They're nothing. They're going to mean nothing. Billionaires, millionaires, people have tried to travel all the world, have had all the pleasures in the world, and when they breathe their last, with an impure, defiled conscience, those things mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. Friends, we must receive God's instruction. It is profitable for us. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thy word, God's word is a lamp unto my feet. It's going to guide me on the straight and narrow. It's going to be my guide and my help and my counselor. And to my feet. Why my feet? Why not my arms? Because we're living in a dark, sinful world. And we can trip up in any time, friends. There's snares everywhere. And we need to be those who have a guide for our feet to keep us on the straight and narrow. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It lights the path. The path to heaven, the path to Christ, the path to his righteousness, to please our Maker, to love him, to live for him. Isaiah 30:21 says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." This is a picture of when someone truly falls in love with God's word. I remember, forgive me for bearing testimony to myself again, but I remember very vividly when the Lord saved me, I spent nights and nights reading over God's word, praying over God's word, crying over God's word. And I remember the impact that had when I left my home to go to business and to work. I had those words within me, reminding me. And this is what Isaiah is saying. "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." But God will remind us, almost as it so whispers that word within us, reminding us, don't do that. Watch the way you're walking. Don't go to that place. Don't go to those things. Be wary of those people. It will speak to us because it is the word of God. If we truly love it. God's word instructs us in righteousness, doesn't it? It instructs us in righteousness. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Why is it, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works? That's why. God wants us to aim for the perfection of his word. That's the aim. And though we miss, he sees the aim of the bullseye. He wants us to desire to live and be conformed to his word, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This divine counsel is for the man of God. Do you notice that? This is not for unbelievers. Although we instruct unbelievers to read God's word, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. This divine counsel is for us who believe in it, that we can be made perfect, as it were. Not perfect in ourselves, but that we can our doctrine and how we reprove and how we correct and how we instruct and the lives that we live, we can be made perfect in a sense that we are always doing according to God's word. Blameless, as it were. And yes, we may fall And yes, we can stumble at times, but the more we grow in grace and in the knowledge of God's word and in love with God's word, we start to become blameless. We start to become more like our Savior, don't we? To know how to live a blameless life with all integrity before the Lord, with a clean conscience. What a terrible thing it is. And I can put my hands up to live a life with a defiled conscience. Can I say, is anyone living a life here with a defiled conscience? In other words, you know what you ought to be doing because God's word is instructed often enough, but you know in your heart that you're not doing God's word, you're not seeking God's word, there's not true repentance in your life, in your heart. You're not utterly giving yourself to it, and you're not repenting of those sins of the heart and of the mind. A clean and pure conscience is what we need. Following Christ's righteousness, following his word, living in Christ's righteousness. It says here that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Furnished unto all good works, to end, to conclude our sermon today on the authority of Scripture, the sufficiency of Scripture. Furnished unto all good works. What happens when you furnish and restore something? I know someone will be able to tell me. Right? Right there, that's right. Well, when you restore something, good thing we've got a master cabinet maker here, is what happens is it's ready to be used, isn't it? Isn't that right? It's ready to be used. And you take, and I'm glad you're here tonight, brother, because when you take an old ancient cabinet or something like that, woodwork or whatever, and everything else, I don't know, you know all these things, but when you take something ancient and crusty, and you take these things, and you take the old man, as it were, saved by grace in Christ, you take that, and that you then furnish it. Furnish it in God's word. Completely restored by God's word. Oh, then, only then, is it able to be used of the Lord. And that's true, is the true desire of a Christian. I want to be a vessel of honor, a vessel of use. The Lord doesn't just save us just for the sake of saving us. He saves us so that we can be used of him, not just in our own walk, but also against the fight, the principalities and the dark things of this world. He saves us to be used for his glory. Furnished unto all good works to glorify his name. And so, friends, if we give ourselves to God's holy word, mind, body, and soul, everything, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love him, give yourself to him, you will truly know God's blessing. You will. He promises that. If you truly do that, by his grace, you will know his blessing. You will be a vessel of honor. And a vessel of use, fit for the King of Kings' mansions in heaven. Let us not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. And in the way in which we do so, in obedience to God's word, despite the better opinion that we may have at times, we must lean on his word. If we truly love God, we will keep his words. And we will love him. And God's word says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And may the Lord add a blessing to his most precious holy word.